Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. It's Friday, May 7th, and even though there's a lot of turmoil right now, we're feeling lucky to start the day with you. Today, the housing market in Colorado has gone haywire, but how has one Eastern Plains town kept its head above water? But before we begin, let's go back in time with some Colorado history, adapted from historian Derek R. Everett's book, Colorado Day by Day. Today, we take you back to May 7, 1897, when a 100-foot-wide breach in the Castlewood Dam threatened to inundate communities below, including Denver. 8 years earlier, there was a similar flood that killed 1,000 people in Pennsylvania. And although the 1897 crisis proved limited, it presaged the fatal failure of the Castlewood Dam. Now our feature story. The housing market in Colorado and across the country has gone haywire in recent years, especially since the coronavirus pandemic began, as people are working from home, losing jobs, and shifting life priorities. Reporter Kevin Simpson talks with Lucy Haggard about how one Eastern Plains town has been trying to keep its head above water and stay around for the next generation.
There's been a lot of discussion about a very chaotic housing market right now, nationally as well as especially in Colorado. And in rural communities, it looks a very particular way. What did you find from visiting and talking with folks in Kit Carson, Colorado?
Well, Kit Carson is really, I guess, sort of a cautionary tale for rural towns all over Colorado and really all over America, in that they've seen declining population. They've seen changing dynamics of agriculture that require fewer workers to be there. So they're losing population. And they also have seen that their housing stock, in other words, the houses people have maybe grown up in and moved on, are deteriorating. It's a difficult situation when you have homes that, in an urban area, suburban area, maybe you think they would just get passed on, sold to another family, but in rural areas, oftentimes they may sit untended for decades even, and the weather and time takes their toll on those. So you get a very diminished inventory of available and especially affordable housing in rural areas. That's part of the equation. The other part is development in rural towns. It's what they refer to as kind of a chicken and the egg proposition, where they're not sure which has to come first, whether you have to have available, affordable housing for people, or if you need the jobs first. In Kit Carson, one thing that happened there that really sort of underscores this is they had a parcel of land that they had envisioned as a big, shiny new truck stop right on Highway 287 out on the Eastern Plains. They had a developer ready to move forward with that project, but then at the last minute decided there wasn't a sufficient workforce in the area to really support that development. So he backed out. And then that leaves the town, wondering, well, do we have to build houses before we get the jobs again, or is it the other way around? Again, it's the chicken and the egg proposition, which is what is really sort of plaguing rural Colorado right now.
And to your point, this is a housing story, but it's also a rural town culture story, right? You spoke with some folks who have been in the area and have stayed in the area partially because they've wanted to, partially because they've needed to. And what keeps people wanting to stay in Kit Carson or having to stay in Kit Carson?
Well, I think it's the question is really the next generation. It always comes down to the next generation. You have kids that graduate from high school, maybe they go off to college, and then what? Do they have a place to come back to? Other than living in mom and dad's basement, that's the issue for housing with regard to that next generation. When they come back, will there be a place for them to stay? To start new lives, pick up where their parents left off with the family ranch or the family farm. There's definitely an ethos of rural life that many people have grown up with and love and, you know, want to provide for their own kids. But the problem is, as you know, you see this drain of population from rural areas, you know, can these towns come back? Can they remain viable when the housing available is just not there?
And this story is happening in towns across Colorado and indeed across the country. Kit Carson is not unique in that sense. What is unique about Kit Carson compared to some other situations?
Well, Kit Carson is a little more remote. It's not far from the Kansas border, so it's sufficiently removed from the Front Range corridor that you don't see folks moving out there, as you know, we are seeing with some other closer in rural areas, where people who during the pandemic have realized, you know, they can do their job from home or, you know, maybe commute to the office just once or twice a week. So you see people moving out to places like Strasburg, for instance, I think is seeing a big influx of people. But out in Kit Carson, which is out in Cheyenne County, not the case. It's two hours and change from Denver by car. And so that's probably just a little too far for people to, you know, want to embrace the rural lifestyle, but still keep their day jobs in an urban center. But even beyond that, it's such a small town, under 300 people, there's not a lot to do there. So it would require a pretty big lifestyle change if you wanted to, you know, move out there and telecommute. But there's just not a lot to do. The one sit-down restaurant in town closed when COVID hit and has not yet reopened. There's a bank. There's a two-day-a-week medical clinic. So, you know, medical care could be difficult. So it's just kind of out there and, you know, not a lot around it. So that kind of puts it in a little bit of a different category than some other urban areas that are close enough to attract people from the metro area.
What's happening in Kit Carson to try and alleviate some of these issues?
Well, one thing they have in their favor that a lot of towns their size do not are some really dedicated volunteers who are looking under every rock that they can. They're leveraging HUD grants. They're trying to partner with local groups that that offer some assistance on a smaller scale. But the problem they find is that, you know, a lot of the investment that helps affordable housing in urban areas just doesn't work in rural areas. For instance, one thing that, you know, that we pointed out in this story is how by the time the folks in Kit Carson scrape off a lot, remove the old home that's no longer habitable, do asbestos abatement and any other environmental stuff that they need to do to make the area livable, and then build a house with the construction costs that they have, they're looking at costing $200 a square foot to build a house, but it only appraises at $100 a square foot. The numbers, the math just do not work in rural Colorado.
Well, Kevin Simpson, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
To read the full story, go to coloradosun.com. And before we go, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A Boulder police officer was legally justified when he shot a gunman targeting a King Soopers in Boulder in March, according to the district attorney. Officer Richard Stidell was among the authorities who responded to the shooting at the grocery store. Stidell hit the gunman in the right thigh with a shot from his 9mm handgun. The DA's report concluded that Stidell's actions were, quote, both objectively reasonable and, upon further review, correct, end quote. Stidell has been on administrative leave during the mandated investigation. Colorado Parks and Wildlife has added 199,000 acres of land for hunting and fishing access as part of the public access program. Wednesday's vote by the Parks and Wildlife Commission to do so is the latest action in an effort that Governor Jared Polis started in 2019 to add 1 million acres of land for public use. The lands were set aside when Colorado became a state to provide funding for schools and have been used for a variety of purposes. A hunting or fishing license is required to recreate there, even for so-called non-consumptive purposes such as hiking or birding. Ski patrollers at Breckenridge voted Wednesday in favor of unionization, with a single vote tipping the scale. The Summit County Resort is the latest in the state to attempt unionization after Keystone patrollers rejected a union effort last month. Many patrollers have argued that a union is necessary to respond to stagnant wages, year-round workloads, and corporate consolidation in the industry. But others have been skeptical of the union movement, and 29 of Breckenridge's 114 patrollers eligible to vote opted to abstain. Vail Resorts, which owns the resort, said it was disappointed with the vote, but will bargain in good faith with the union. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor of the Colorado Sun. Thanks for listening to the Daily Sunup. The Colorado Sun is independent, nonpartisan, and supported by readers and listeners like you. For just $20 a month, you get the full Sun membership experience, including our exclusive politics and outdoors newsletters. Just go to coloradosun.com/join and choose the Newsletters Plus tier. Thanks again.